is Bootstrap Web, episode 89. And as always, I am Brian.
And I'm Jordan. And that's our new intro.
Pretty well thought out.
Yep. We're just, we're getting right to the point here.
Yeah, that's right.
Becoming more efficient.
Not beating around the bush anymore.
Cool, Brian. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to be back, sir. So this will be a good one. I guess today we'll just kind of talk about an update. And then, just kind of see what's going on, what's new.
Yeah, update episode, see what's happening. I like where we always, we start off on what we're thinking about day to day, and then it usually ends up somewhere like in the bigger picture of why we're trying to work on what we are and all that. Yeah, so you want to go, or otherwise I can rant away.
I'll start off today. Let's see. I just launched the Content Upgrades plugin. So that's officially out the door now. And as of this recording, or when this episode publishes, it'll be officially open to the public for anyone to get their hands on. So you can check that out. So this part of it hasn't totally been figured out yet. Which domain should we use for this plugin? And I'm still kind of working on that. But basically, we have the domain contentupgrades.io. And that's been the URL that we've been promoting for the pre-launch, the early access list. So probably you can go to that URL and you'll make your way over to where you can get the plugin. But I also just set up shop.audienceops.com, and that's where the plugin will actually be sold from. So I'm thinking what I'll probably end up doing is have like contentupgrades.io be like the sales page or kind of a promotional mini site, and then the button or buy now or whatever will point over to shop.audienceops.com. And what I'm thinking there is, I've kind of talked about this before, how this plugin is really going to be the first of a whole line of plugins that will release probably over the next year or so from Audience Ops. So I spent the last 2 weeks or so, I've been doing a number of things around the Content Upgrades plugin. First of all, I had to set up the shop on Audience Ops. So now we have a fully functional, basically an e-commerce store built onto Audience Ops using the Easy Digital Downloads system, which is really, really great system built by Pippin Williamson, and just really dialed in, especially if you're selling WordPress plugins, and that's what we'll be doing mostly. So I got that all set up, and then yesterday I held a live webinar for anybody who had signed up for early access. And then I also promoted the workshop to my list. So I've been promoting that over the last 2 weeks, and then I finally held that live workshop yesterday. And so all of last week was the early access period. As of today, as we're recording this, it actually launched yesterday. And for the rest of this week, as we're speaking now, this is like the early access period. And then Monday, yesterday, when you're listening to this, it's kind of open to the public. I know that's pretty confusing there, but
just the timing. So yeah. How'd the webinar process go? Always tricky.
I think it was okay. I think it was pretty good. The webinar itself was good. I think sales were okay. Probably sales of the plugin were a little bit less than I had hoped initially. But again, right now we're only on the first day, so there was a bunch of sales on the first day around the time of the webinar, and then I expect probably over the weekend when the early access coupon kind of expires, there's usually a spike of sales then too. The workshop went really well though. We had about 350 or so people registered for the workshop, and then about 75, maybe it was up to 80 at one point, attended live. So that was really good to kind of get a good group on the call. And then anybody who didn't attend live can, of course, go back and watch the recording. Every time I do one of these webinars, and I've done them a couple times now, and I think I've gotten a lot better at it in terms of getting all the pieces in place and knowing, how to set it up correctly and how to host the webinar correctly and like the mechanics of doing all that. But there's so many little pieces that go into play, and there's always something that you forget, or there's always something that gets a little bit screwed up.
It drives you nuts. You want it to be like a podcast motor. Like, let me just show up and do the podcast, and then everything else is done.
Seriously. And that was like a productized service idea that I almost launched before I did Audience Ops. Yeah.
Webinar motor. That's it, Craig. Right? Podcast. Let's do it.
Exactly. And I found like 10 things that I almost completely screwed up right at the last minute. And I like, you know, phew, fix that email before it went out, you know. But like the timing of the European time zone was an hour off, and those people kind of showed up, you know, an hour early and whatnot. So it's just so many little details that go into these things. But I think all in all, that the webinar went pretty well. And now my next step on working on that is to set up a more automated sales funnel and way to bring people from our audience ops audience and my audience into the content upgrades plugin. So I'm kind of working on that today and tomorrow. I already have a few blog posts all about content upgrades, and then kind of a PDF download, and then a recorded version of the workshop, and kind of putting those pieces together into some sort of automation flow and drip. So that's what I'm working on this week. And then the last piece that I want to get in place before I, you know, sometime in the next 2-3 weeks before I leave here, before I leave Asheville, North Carolina, would be like the primary lead magnet on Audience Ops itself. And that's going to be an email course, which I've already started to outline. And my designer is working on setting up a landing page for that. My developer has also started working on a plugin to create landing pages for email courses, because we do that pretty often for our clients too. So,
Of course he has.
Yeah. So that'll probably be the next, first we're going to use it internally, and then we'll release it as another plugin, you know, in a few months.
Can you explain that real quick? What does it do?
Yes. Okay. So email courses are like a primary lead magnet. And we create them for almost all of our clients. And right now I'm creating our email course for Audience Ops. And by primary lead magnet, I mean, that's the thing that you kind of drive all of your traffic to. Content upgrades are great for like individual blog posts. This is like that thing that it's the funnel that brings new subscribers into your product. Everybody gets funneled here. If you already have an existing website and you're already set up on WordPress or whatever, it's not so easy to just quickly whip up a landing page attached onto your website. Like, there are tools you could use, like Lead Pages or something, but you know, there's the subscription for that, and I'm personally just not such a big fan of using, you know, template tools, especially when the landing pages have a different look and feel and a different branding than the rest of the website. I wanted to have a plugin that would allow us to easily put a landing page onto a WordPress site, regardless of what theme the WordPress site is using.
Oh, I see. So it stays consistent, and this is essentially, it's an opt-in page.
Yes.
And opt into the course, but you want to explain the value of the course, what you're getting out of it, before you ask for the fields to be submitted.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, you could just create another page in WordPress for that, but then, you know, you're already using a theme, so it's going to probably have like the navigation and the footer and all that stuff. This is going to be a totally stripped down landing page, just the headline, your logo, a description, an email opt-in form, and that's basically it, with a couple of, you know, really simple customization options. And I mean, like for my own sites in the past, what I would do is I'm a web designer, so I would just go in there and hack my theme and create a custom page template and put it into my theme. And that's how I used to create landing pages.
Yeah, I was always jealous looking at your landing pages because they always looked great and you didn't use any of the other tools. And I was like, what the hell, man? I can't do that. I have to use Lead Pages or something that's more templated.
Yeah, exactly. And now that we're doing this on our client sites, you know, Audience Ops, like, we don't go in and really edit the client's website code or anything like that. But we do install a couple of plugins, like our content upgrades plugin, and then later we'll install this landing pages plugin to allow us to put up these landing pages. So I just started having my team work on building that tool out, and meanwhile what I'm working on is actually writing our email course, so that these pieces start to come together in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully by the end of this month we'll be able to launch our email course on Audience Ops. That's about, you know, how you can grow your audience and kind of convert that into customers and all that.
Is that going to be similar content to your webinar? Because I did listen to most of your webinar, and a lot of the stuff that you just throw out there, like primary nurture campaign, right? These things, and you explained really well on the webinar on how things like content upgrades help, but they are different entry points into your funnel, and you do want people to go through one funnel. Like, I think that took me 3 or 4 conversations with you to like see that visually and say, oh, that's what it's the same thing with with, I've had a few conversations with Rob Walling about Drip, and it took a few conversations for me to say, oh, okay, now I get it. Everything should be automated except for the occasional newsletter that's manual. It, like, it took me a few times. I don't know if you plan on making that webinar public on your site or automated it, but it's really good for getting people to see and understand your vision of how to use content.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not that easy to explain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there definitely are different different versions of how to organize your content and all of your automation, and different people do it in different ways. But we kind of have a standard process that I've been using personally, and we implement this on all of our clients. But yeah, that webinar from yesterday, I did mention the primary lead magnet, but most of that webinar was kind of focused on content upgrades. And so there is going to be a recorded version of that that comes in the sequence. That'll be like ongoing, you know, like readily available for anyone who wants to go through that sequence at any time, for the content upgrade sequence there. But this next email course that I'm working on for Audience Ops is really for converting traffic into consultations to become clients of Audience Ops. So it's slightly different. I mean, we're definitely covering a lot of like overlapping topics there.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it should lead into an appropriate offer.
Yeah, it's a little bit more high level. It's really speaking more to the business owner and how to think about content marketing for your business, not necessarily how to implement all the little pieces of it yourself. You know, because that segment of the audience is not so interested in the do-it-yourself stuff. They're more interested in, well, how do I just grow my customer base, and how do I outsource this and systematize it and you know, get this machine running so that I actually get a return on investment from content marketing. Like, that's the whole theme of this email course that I'm putting together. And then after that, you know, I'm going to be traveling for most of December, so I don't plan to get a whole lot done then. So I think once I get that piece done and this content upgrades funnel done, I'll feel pretty good about the last month or two, which was, you know, my whole goal right now has been get our sales and marketing systems up and running, launch this plugin and get that out the door. Things are moving well. The customer base on Audience Ops has been growing pretty well. We've got a good pipeline of leads now, and kind of really dialing in our sales and marketing process. And even the stuff that I do myself, like the sales calls and sending out, you know, basically template proposals to leads after I talk to them. Like, all of that has been really dialed in the last 2 weeks, where it's like a couple of canned responses. I do a call with someone, and then once they sign up, it's handed off right over to my team, and they're doing like a kickoff call. They're coming up with topics. They're getting all the pieces going, and the machine is running pretty well. Got the team is in place. They're all doing fantastic, and it's exciting to see it all kind of come together right now.
Nice, man. And you're still in North Carolina?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and where are you heading next?
So I'm in North Carolina right now. The next long stop is going to be Austin, Texas. I'll be there for about 6 weeks. So I know that there are probably more listeners who live in that area. So I'm sure we'll do some meetups around the Austin area. Pretty excited about that. In between North Carolina and Austin, there will be about 2 weeks where we're doing like one or two night stops at different places. So from here, we'll go to Nashville and then Memphis and then Little Rock. We're visiting some friends there, and then down to New Orleans for a couple nights, and then across the southern coastline as we get into Texas.
All right, very nice, man. Well, so good. It's good to hear. I think you know, a lot of what you talked about is interesting, exciting, and the fact that content upgrades is out the door. But I think what you said at the end about the fact that the team is gelling and working well together, and you're not involved in every single step of the process, I think that's the part that's the most exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels good. Slack is very active every day, and you know, I definitely pop in there, but you know, the team is off and running, and I'm still involved. Like, we have team calls and questions and emails and things, and I'm still working on this every day. It's not like it's completely hands off at this point, but I do feel good that I'm working on the things that I should be working on. Like I'm not really working on the day-to-day repeatable service tasks. I'm working on building out new parts of our product. I'm doing sales calls. That's the kind of stuff that I enjoy doing. So
nice, man. Well, if it makes sense to talk about my side of things, I think that's a good gateway right there. Because while you might not be working on the day-to-day, I am. And I'm not working on the right things. And that's been the biggest challenge of the past week. So what's happened over the past week is that things have gone well. And what I mean by that is the number of trials we're getting is just increasing at a good rate. I had a few podcasts that I was a guest on publish at the same time, and a few other things just kind of all happened within a week. And we just got a bunch of trials from it, and higher quality trials, and just everything's heading in the right direction. I looked over at our records, and we are now averaging more than one launched campaign per day. So that's not more than one free trial per day. That's a free trial that creates an account, gets set up, gets integrated, sets up their emails, and launches their email campaign. So we're averaging.
And that's kind of like what you consider like activated.
Yeah, that's trials. Like a real lead, a real prospect, someone who's actually starting to get value from the product and therefore might turn into a paying customer. Everyone else, we try to get them over that hurdle to get them launched, but that's the magic number for us. So we're averaging more than one a day on that. And so everything's heading in the right direction. So what's happened over the past week is that with all of that activity, which is great, I have been buried in what I still have on my plate. And so I'll go through a whole day and I'll work hard all day. And then I will look back and say, so I did a few things well. I spoke to three people on the phone that I have never spoken to before. And I always consider a day when I speak with a stranger on the phone a good day. I did a demo that was successful. I wrote, and responded to 50 emails, and I got a few people launched and answered questions and helped someone on their template and all this great activity that's leading to more people launching and more people signing up. But I didn't spend time on the strategic work of let's get a new Facebook ad funnel launched. Let me write out the email campaign for a cold email outreach campaign to this type of market. Let me reach out to someone like Pippin at Easy Digital Downloads and say, should we potentially do an integration together? So all this strategic work that will make the next month or 2 months from now look better. So it's been the first time I find myself like taking my chair and swirling it around a little bit, looking at my bookcase, and I'm like, I look at like things like Getting Things Done and these types of books, and I'm like, I think I need to plan better. I need more of a system around making sure that I do strategic work.
Well, let me ask you something about that real quick. So, I mean, you said that when people go through the trial and they get to that point where they're kind of considered activated, they've launched their campaign. I mean, you're doing, like, are you calling them? You're reaching out to them? Is that what's kind of taking up your time?
It's death by a thousand cuts. It is someone signs up and wants to do a demo, or before they even do a demo, they respond to one of our either cold email campaign or an ad campaign, or they see us on a podcast and they say, hey, I'm interested. Here's my contact info. Let's set up a demo. Cool. So I will do that demo, which I think is great, and I end up closing most of the people that I do a demo with. So, so it's definitely worth your time. And people who want a demo are generally higher quality prospects. So I'll spend time on that. And then I will go into support emails and respond to four or five emails. And then I will have owed someone something. And then I will also go and follow up with someone who was supposed to convert and were waiting to get their credit card info but haven't. So I'll send them another email saying, hey, I haven't got your credit card info. Please put it in. I'll confirm once we have it. So it's this combination of a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and that, and then this other task. And it all, look, it does add up to good things happening. But
what about support? I mean, is there not someone else who's working on support?
So right now, sales and support are indistinguishable from one another. And this is actually an interesting topic that we talked about internally. Ben and I, what we have found, because they're not really differentiated, sales and support, when someone wants a demo, that's sales. Then when they create their account, now all of a sudden it's kind of support. And they have a question, and can you help me change something in my template? I want it to look like my other emails. Okay, now that's kind of like sales
answer. But they're a free trial customer, right? So it's still kind of sales.
Right, so it's still kind of sales. But then they get launched and they, oh, I saw this weird thing. Did you miss this session? I want to make sure. So now all of a sudden it's more support, but it's still the same relationship of someone that I just had a demo with 3 days ago, and I want them to be super psyched about just the whole experience, because this is the most critical, that first week of the experience with the company. So
I know what you're saying. I know how, like, the whole death by a thousand cuts thing, but I think there is real value in at least phasing in a tier one support person for those things, even for the free trial people. And I know how hard that is to kind of offload that, especially when it's like so critical and these are like high value accounts that could potentially sign up or drop off, you know. I mean, I've had this experience with SaaS stuff that I've signed up for where it's like I have a couple of pre-sales questions and I get into like the little live chat widget and then I'm clearly talking to the founder of the thing. And then I sign up for it and I'm setting up my account and I've got a couple more questions and it's still the founder who's answering my questions. And you know, the thought that I had in my mind was like, this looks like it's a one-man operation. And fine, like the tool works and it's solving my problem and I'm probably gonna pay for it. But if this guy, you know, gets sick or something, I'm probably not gonna get support. At least that's what I'm thinking. You know, even if that's not necessarily the case or not. So, you know, even like if you can train a support person to be that tier one support, I think, believe it or not, like it might even give your new customers a little bit more peace of mind that, oh, Cardhook is like a real company.
Yeah. So we actually do things to address that. When someone signs up, they get an email from Jonas first. That's our account manager. And they say, hi, I'm Jonas. I want to introduce myself. I'm your account manager at Cardhook. So they get an email from someone. So now all of a sudden they see an additional person on top of who they spoke with, right? And they might have spoken with Jonas first and gotten a demo scheduled with me. And then once they launch their campaign, we transition them on to someone else. We say, congrats on getting launched, and we have some important news. Here's the person that will take care of you moving forward. So we do have it in place. It's just that what I'm dealing with right now is scar tissue. You know that concept of scar tissue in I think Rework, one of the 37 Signals books.
I read that. It was a while back.
Yeah, so they talk about this concept of scar tissue where a lot of the things you do are based on these negative experiences in the past that really shouldn't determine where your company goes, but you can't help it because, you know, you got hurt and now it's a scar. And we had the same experience. I tried to back off almost entirely from support. And we had a bad month. We had a bad 2 months. And so I basically said, all right, we can't afford another bad 2 months with our runway. I'm just going to do what it takes. And, you know, expectedly, things have improved. And so now I'm dealing with, okay, I got scar tissue. And then so I got whacked and then I got the reward. So I'm like a nice trained monkey in the middle being like, okay, yeah, if you
but
do
you
this,
know,
it's
at the end of the day, though, or the long-term goal of all this has to be this product runs itself and the team and the support team runs the product. Like you know that at a certain point, it's not a viable product if it completely relies on you to do that tier one support during the free trial. You know, I think at some point you're going to have to trust that it's a quality product and that you have a quality team in place to support it. And then you can focus on what you should be doing.
You're not going to get any argument from me on that. But I do see in two phases. And I see phase one as just do whatever the hell it takes to get either to profitability or very close to it. And then phase two is, okay, now I can take on more risk with the smarter, longer term approach. But right now we're in phase one.
Yeah, true. I hear that. I mean, even like a support person, you can just train them on like, all right, these are like the five most commonly asked questions. So at least those questions are handled. And if it's anything else, just escalate to me, you know?
Right, right. Just to start, which I've done some in the past and I need to do more of.
But that's still a good problem to have though.
It's good. It's just a problem. It's like, okay, now I'm experimenting now with different ways to handle my schedule. My favorite time of day to do work is in the afternoon after lunch. So I basically have blocked off 2 to 5 p.m. Every day to do strategic work. And I'm using a bit of accountability along with that. So at the beginning at 2 p.m. I say, hey, Ben, here's what I'm working on during this strategic session. And at 5 o'clock, I send him whatever I have created in that time. So it's not like I'm going to go explore this thing and read a bunch of stuff about it. It's by 5 o'clock, I need to send Ben whatever I have. Doesn't need to be finished. And there's no like, oh, I'm not done with it yet. I'll send it tomorrow. Just whatever I have created in that time, I send to him. So it's like a time block plus some accountability.
That's a good point. I've been thinking about that recently. Have you looked at any of these tools that are specifically for that, like to report what you're working on or what you accomplished today? Have you seen those? I think there's like I done this, and Status Hero is another good one.
I just can't handle any more tools, man. I can't do it. When I get in the office, I'm like Gmail, Google Docs, Help Scout, Intercom. You know,
I know.
Slack. And
my team like goes crazy when I start thinking about like adding in more tools, because we're all over like Slack and Trello and Google Docs and
we use Sprintly. So it's really, well, I'm kind of maxed out. I don't want to put my info. I'm just trying to make Trello work, and then I use my notebook for a lot of stuff because I just like that.
This is, you know, but that is something like the accountability thing, or even just like status. I mean, this is something that I've been thinking about for my team, because in two ways. Number one, we've had a little bit of an issue with knowing what everybody else is working on at any given time, and actually having an understanding of like what everybody's workload is. So like when we give one of the assistants, you know, hey, we need you to tweak this image in this blog post, we might forget that he actually has like eight other things on his queue, and we don't really have a way to see that right now. But then the other thing that I was thinking about for myself is my team is all working mostly on our production line of blog content that goes out. And I'm doing all this other like sales and marketing stuff and building out systems and plans and strategic work. But sometimes I feel like, and I don't know if this is like reality or not, but in my mind, I feel like my team might think that I'm, you know, off on a beach somewhere not doing any work while they're, you know, doing all the work. And that's, you know, it's obviously not the case. And if there could be some way for them to know what I'm working on when what I'm working on isn't totally visible.
Right. Because they don't see. Yeah. A lot of times, like what Ben and Rock work on, I mean, I literally see it in Slack. I see committed to production, new feature launch, new thing committed. I see all that activity. They don't see when I have a phone call for 30 minutes with someone and I learn something, you know?
Right.
So that's a different thing.
Yeah.
All they see is free trials. So when we have a great week of like 30 free trials, I'm like, I feel great because I know they're seeing it, but there's got to be something better.
Yeah, exactly. So what is your productivity stuff that you've been working on?
No, it's moving around the calendar.
Okay, like time blocking and how do you do the accountability thing? Like, are you just like sending Ben an email?
Yeah, like a Slack message, literally. Ben, I'm working on a Facebook ad, which is, you know, image and creative and copy and all that, and audiences. And I'm also working on this PDF that is a download for the funnel. And that's it. And then I just will send him the latest version of that PDF, even if it's not done, even if it has a bunch of weird red notes for me on what I should include here and what screenshot I need. As long as I just say, look, I've created something, I've moved forward. And I need that personally. I need the accountability.
Yeah. We do a ton of accountability within our mastermind group, which I have that call in about 45 minutes from now. That's been great, I think, for all of us. Definitely for me, like with tracking our goals and even like in between our goals, just like going into our mastermind Slack room and just being like, got this done or signed this client, and it's good.
Yeah, I think what it came down to for me was a few days ago, I had this thought. I'm doing so much during the day with my time to make sure that other people are not disappointed. So people send an email, they get a response. People send a request, it gets addressed. People have a question, all these different things. And what I realized was I am making sure that other people are not disappointed, and it ensures that I am disappointed in myself because of the progress that I know I should be making. And I needed to flip that. I needed to say, no, I need to be more okay with other people being disappointed. And you know what that means is them waiting an additional few hours for a response to ensure that I don't disappoint my own expectations. And that's kind of what set me straight on this. Like, no, I don't want to keep doing the same thing I'm doing. Things are good. We got busy. And then all of a sudden, I stopped doing strategic work. It's like, no, that can't happen. So I have to create the space.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to admit that to myself time and time again. You know, it's tough, especially when you see emails sitting there in your inbox. I mean, right now I've got questions from my teammates that are waiting on my response, but you know, I think at the end of the day, I start to admit to myself, like, you know what, it's okay if this waits one business day, and the same goes for clients. One of my teammates is asking me questions and she needs to know the answers so that she can get back to one of our clients because our client is waiting for answers about something. And you know, at the end of the day, like, it's okay if it takes a day or two to get back to someone. I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, I would say 3 to 5 days to answer one question is getting unreasonable, but one hour is also unreasonable too. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Any other big updates at this point?
No, I think it's a good place to stop. I think the transition into that next topic that we want to talk about, and you know, in terms of target market, I think it's kind of a clear dividing line between what we're talking about right now. So,
yeah, cool. So in the next episode, we'll be talking all about how to find your target market. This is something that I've been asked a lot. It's something that I'm constantly thinking about, and I know you've been thinking about it as well. So we'll do a deep dive into that one in next week's episode.
Sounds good, Brian. I'll talk to you on the other side.
All right. Later, man.